With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
It's week 17 of DFS. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the DFS Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today's guest is back again on his Christmas vacation. He's hanging out with us. He's nimble with numbers. He's the one, the only Scott Simpson. And of course, as always, it's you. And today we got another fantastic show. We've got an incredible full Sunday slate. Oh boy, no Thursday games this time around. No Saturday games. We got a full slate, a lot to break down, and we're going to get to it. And first, of course, I got to welcome back our good friend Scott Simpson to the show. Third time joining us this season. And you've officially become our holiday guy, right? You did Labor Day with us. You did Thanksgiving with us. And now you're doing New Year's with us, basically. So I hope you're enjoying your time, my friend.
Joe, thank you so much, brother. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I was telling my partners I podcast with, I get to go talk to Joey P today. This is one of my favorite things I get to do. They're both super jealous. So thank you. I like being the holiday guy. As a teacher, I don't get a lot of breaks. So during the holidays, my wife gives me a little bit of time. And I like to spend it talking football. That's the love we have.
Well, I will try not to keep you too long. I know you've got other things going on, and I know you've got some children upstairs waiting to do activities with you. So we'll try to make this as concise as possible. But we got a lot to break down today, including the big change to the COVID situation, too, which is now the NFLPA is saying that they're taking on the new CDC restrictions or guidelines, I should say, where instead of the 10-day quarantine, we're down to five with the negative tests and symptoms and not having symptoms. So that's going to change things a lot. So basically, anybody that's already tested positive for COVID and is on the COVID reserve as of Monday, there's an opportunity here for them to play Sunday. So again, this podcast is, you know, we're doing our best. And despite all the COVID issues last week, we gave you T. Higgins. We gave you Joe Burrow. I mean, we crushed last week. So if you just play those guys, you did fine. But really, we've done an extraordinary job of giving you options, and we're going to keep doing that today. But the thing is, if anybody tests positive on Thursday, Friday, you know they're probably out. So just, you know, obviously, you know, keep the ideas in mind as we go through these games individually, what we talk about in terms of the construct of these games, we get to the fantasy fly around, but also the individual players, you know, there's going to be some pivots there potentially also, but you can always hit me up on Twitter at JoePizzaPia17 if you got questions, and Scott at Nimble W Numbers as well. Before we jump into everything here, I want to remind everybody too, we've still got that amazing giveaway. We got a couple days left of that Alvin Kamara jersey, thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. All you got to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/FantasyPros. Click that notifications bell. And when you do, you take a screenshot of your subscription. You go to FantasyPros.com/contest. You fill out the form. And just like that, an Alvin Kamara autographed jersey can be yours. And that's going to end on New Year's Eve night. So get in that as well. Also, don't forget about the Betting Pros podcast as well. We got the big Action Spectacular Bowl special, part three, coming with Bogut and myself. That just came out as well, and you can go check that out as we start to dive into the college football playoffs. But Dan Harris has the Best Bet show every single week, so that's an amazing piece there. Plus, Dan has that early look at the betting lines every Tuesday, and you only get that at bettingpros.com/podcast. So make sure that you are subscribing to that pod wherever you get your podcast. Again, that's Betting Pros, and we are growing huge on the Betting Pros side, especially in 2022. So Scott Simpson, now that that is all out of the way, let's talk some football, buddy. And let's start with the high price guys, the big ticket numbers. And spoiler alert, I'm not paying for any big running backs this week. None for Joey P. So the floor is yours here, Scott Simpson. Who are you paying for?
So you're just out. No,
I'm
no
out.
You're out.
I am out this week.
Heavy wide receiver pay up.
Here's why. And I will give you my 2 second spiel. Here's why. Because I'm looking at the board. Running back is a wasteland. The running back that I like the most, who's the highest price, is over 10K on FanDuel. That's very expensive for Jonathan Taylor. You can go Jonathan Taylor, but also now we have Carson Wentz in question. So yes, okay, the thought process is, well, maybe Jonathan Taylor gets more work. Maybe, but also you need the quarterback to facilitate things and you need the quarterback to keep defenses honest and all that game planning that goes around the quarterbacks are number one quarterbacks for a reason and backups are backups for a reason for the most part. So I don't like that combination of things along with the way the slate looks generally speaking, whereas defenses are quitting this time of year. You look at the numbers last week in the NFL on the receiving side, holy crap, they were exploding. That's going to explode in week 17 and week 18. Forget about it. It's going to be even worse. So that's my spiel. Give me your sales pitch for Jonathan Taylor.
I like your spiel. Your spiel's a good spiel. You know, we actually did some tracking last year. Jordan Vanek, over at Osmo and 444, he shared some data that at the end of the season, wide receivers were the boom, right? That kind of was where the energy went. And if you were riding them the last couple weeks of the season, you made money. So I'm not going to argue with that. I think you do go heavy wide receiver, and there's some good ones we're going to talk about. But I would advocate for Jonathan Taylor just because of the touches. He's getting 30 touches a game, 28,
oh, he's amazing.
27, 29. It's the amount of volume he's getting, which is so consistent. You know he's going to get it. Carson Wentz could clear, right? He could clear now, potentially. We'll see. But even if he doesn't clear, I like him more as a receiving threat. He hasn't had to be used as a receiving threat. He has, not a lot of targets the last couple games. And that's okay, you know. But I think he will be getting targets if he doesn't have Carson Wentz back there. So I think either way he's in play at 9K. Now on FanDuel, a little expensive. I'm going to be honest with you. But on DraftKings, 9K, we've seen Christian McCaffrey there before. We've seen Christian McCaffrey higher than that. You know, Jonathan Taylor is in that kind of the Christian McCaffrey or the Derrick Henry role. And Vegas, man, they've given up 2,000 yards all-purpose, you know, when running backs, passing and rushing, receiving and rushing, and then also 20 touchdowns. So you know Jonathan Taylor is going to get at least one touchdown. He's going to score you 20 points. So I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor in, you know, let's say 20% of my builds. I don't want to not have him if I'm going to put 150 lineups into something. Now, if I'm doing one lineup, maybe I do fade him. Maybe I do fade him. Right. But in a tournament where it's a single entry, I can see that and just go heavy with wide receiver.
And I think the other thing that compounds it for me is the middle, the soft middle of wide receiver that's typically productive. I hate it this week. It's guys like Marquise Brown, where I have no idea where that's going to be. Terry McLaurin has done nothing in 8 weeks. It's you know, Christian Kirk. Do I have faith in him? Probably not. DJ Moore against the Saints. You know, there's so many of those guys in that soft middle that typically is where we like a lot of those guys. And we said there's really good value wide receiver. Wide receiver is so top heavy on the other end of it. That's my fear. Is like I feel like I can pluck some running backs, and we'll get to those names in a second. But Jonathan Taylor exposure is never a bad thing. I'm just not doing it this week for better or worse. And if Carson Wentz comes back and clears, that will change my tune a little bit. Then I will have some exposure to Taylor. And it's just it's a more difficult path to build a lineup you like this week, especially with some of the matchups. There's a lot of good teams against bad teams this week, I feel like, you kind of see that there's a big divide. So I think that's the problem I have. Let's get to some of those big name wide receivers. And to me, Deebo Samuel is that one that I want to go in on. I could have gone the easy route and pick Cooper Kupp, but I'll talk about him later in the show. But Deebo, I want to highlight too, because even if it's Trey Lance, if it's Garoppolo, I don't care. I think his matchup against Houston is going to be fantastic. The guy's just been fantastic for them all season long. And I think Deebo is just going to just crush it here in this one. I like his return. And also, I feel like there's all of a sudden a little bit of limitation here where people, because of the quarterback situation, get shied off and the roster percentage is a little less, but the talent isn't any less. And I love that combination. Whenever that happens, that is usually a difference maker potentially. So Deebo is one of the guys I've got my eye on. Who do you have your eye on at wide receiver this week?
I'm going to just co-sign on that Deebo thing, by the way, because I like him. You know, when you're looking at his numbers, he's getting at least six rushing attempts every game. You know, and if then he gets like 6-7 targets, 8 targets, I mean, wow, he hasn't even caught a passing touchdown in a while either. So maybe he gets a passing touchdown this week and a rushing touchdown. Yeah, I mean, it could
He's like a young Cordarrelle Patterson.
That's a great call. Yeah, no, I love that. That's a good one. For me, I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. And we'll talk a little bit about, his quarterback matchup later in the show. But I really like Stephon Diggs this week. You see Stephon Diggs, he's coming out and kind of doing the old form he had previously. He didn't start the season well. I was a big guy who was a proponent of him. I picked him in the first round, and he kind of let me down the first half of the season. But he's been back, right? He's been back the second half of the season. And Josh Allen is going to light up the Atlanta Falcons. Like, he is just – it's going to be another Christmas tree light up down there. And so I really do see, Stephon Diggs coming through and maybe catching a touchdown. I'm projecting at least one touchdown for him. So I think Atlanta is one of those teams that, though they're kind of hanging around, they're not. The Bills are going to trounce them. There's a huge difference between the Bills and the Falcons. And so, that 14.5 point spread is ridiculous. I love it.
Yeah. And speaking of Josh Allen, he is my quarterback to pay up for the week. And I love paying up for a quarterback that I don't necessarily have to pair. You can pair him with Diggs. You can absolutely do that. I like the simple quarterbacks you can run out there solo. 8,800 over on FanDuel this week. Throw out the New England game where he had 11 points, because that's not a game log game to be considering at all when you talk about his talent. 28 points against New Orleans, 36 points against Tampa, 21 against Carolina, and 30 last week against New England the second time around without the ridiculous win factor. So this guy's been absolutely crushing it. I think he can return even, at that almost 9K salary on FanDuel. 3x value, and that's saying a lot, but I want to lock that in, especially in cash. I think that he's one of the safer quarterbacks too, because even guys like Herbert, who I love, it's a tough matchup. Denver's secondary is very good. I know Mahomes put on a laser light show last week, but once again, there's always some questions there. So going up to the top of more of a quarterback, I feel more comfortable than at running back. But who is the quarterback you want to pay up for, the big ticket guy this week in DFS?
So I did see your Josh Allen and I liked it. And I was going to, take him. But I would settle for somebody. He's this little known guy out of Michigan. Not many people heard of him. His name's Tom Brady. He's playing some little team you guys have never heard of out of New York called the Jets. So, not a lot of people are probably going to be on this. In cash, I think it's a better play than in a tournament, because in tournament might be a little Brady heavy. No, there's 14 games, so maybe not. Maybe there'll be a shocking situation where people don't go heavy Josh Allen and Tom Brady. But I think those are the two best pay up quarterbacks, and Brady, man, his touchdowns. Just goodness gracious. He's got 37 touchdowns this year. Last year he had 40. I think he can get 43, 44 touchdowns this year. And Antonio Brown, by the way, he has got a clause in his contract where if he catches 3 more touchdowns, he's getting $300,000. If he catches over 281 yards, he's getting $300,000. And there's another one. So he can get $1 million if Tom Brady feeds him. I think it's like 11 receptions. Tom Brady is going to be feeding Antonio Brown to get him paid so he can get him out of his house, right? So so I think this is what I'm looking at later with Tom Brady. So
it's my favorite duo of the week. I'm not going to lie. Tom Brady against the Jets. You want to talk about Aaron Rodgers owning the Bears? How about Tom Brady's Jets numbers over the years? Jeez. But you know what? I could not agree more. And Tom Brady knows these things, and that the players know these things, and it's going to happen. You're 100% correct. A cash game tight end. I'm going to go back to the Kittle. Well, I know it's been quieter. I know Mark Andrews has been brilliant, and maybe that should be the guy, but I don't know. It's just all this uncertainty of going, who's going to play quarterback right now. Mark Andrews is also perfectly fine to pay up for a tight end this week. It's him or Kittle. I struggled with that. But I don't think you can go wrong here. That being said, I think I want to pay down at tight end this week too. So I'm just trying to be transparent with everybody. I'm paying down at running back. I'm paying down at tight end just a tad this week, and I'm paying up for quarterback play and up for wide receiver play, because I feel like even defense this week is worth paying attention to up, because you get this time of the season, teams start thinking about the offseason. They think about, I don't want to get hit anymore. I don't want to tackle anybody anymore. It's been a long year, and you have a whole other week now to come. So to me, it's going to be a very wide open Sunday. So that's how I'm looking at it. Now, how do you look at the tight end position? Who's the name that's worth the premium this week for you?
So I talked about, liking Tom Brady as my QB. Antonio Brown's definitely one of the main reasons. Rob Gronkowski is another one. 90 touchdowns over their career. The Jets are not very good. Like, they've given up 7 touchdowns to the tight end, 944 yards, so almost 1,000 yards. So Rob Gronkowski can get his. And so he had a down game last game. That happens. But he can rebound, and he will. And so I'm, you know, he's not a pay up either. You don't have to pay the Mark Andrews price for him. You know, he's a little bit cheaper. And so I think that's what, you know, I like. He's, you know, 1,200 less than Mark Andrews. You know, he's 1,100 less than Travis Kelce. So you're getting a little bit of a deal on him, a little bit of a price point, which I like.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, I love Tampa this week. I think that made that abundantly clear. And yeah, it just seems like Tom Brady is going to maybe, you know, remind everybody, hey, I'm in this MVP conversation. So let's not forget about Tom Brady, too. I've seen him go from the favorite to sliding back. And I don't get that, especially now that he's lost Godwin, now that he's lost, you know, Mike Evans, is like Leonard Fournette. I think Tom Brady's probably still MVP. I hate to break it to people. I'm just putting that out there.
What happened with the Aaron Rodgers love? All this, like, 2-3 weeks ago, he was the devil, and now he's the MVP frontrunner in a week. Like,
well, we'll see. There's still a couple weeks left. Jonathan Taylor should be in that conversation too, boys and girls. Sure. You know, it's about time we start recognizing some other players not at the quarterback position for a change on how instrumental they are. And
Cooper Kupp maybe too, right? Put them in there as well. These are guys.
You know what? I think it's time to open our horizons a little bit, especially in a year where there's been some really good quarterback play, but I don't think anyone has been like transcendent. It's not like the, you know, like the Mahomes 50 touchdown year, right? Or a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady in their peak times where they were unanimous MVPs. It doesn't feel like that this year. It feels a little bit more spread out. So I think it should be a conversation. You're right. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about our sponsor, Charles Schwab. If this year has taught us anything, it's that tomorrow may look nothing like today. But Schwab knows that successful financial planning can help propel net worth by 2.7 times. That's why Schwab offers a variety of easy, flexible financial planning options that can rise to meet life's expectations and many curveballs. Whether it's making a complimentary retirement plan online or chatting directly with a financial consultant, anyone can look forward to planning with Schwab. Learn more at schwab.com/plan today. Again, that's schwab.com/plan. And now back to the action. Yep. At running back this week, Antonio Gibson, going back to that. Well, clearly the game script did not go in his favor Sunday night. Just wanted to be clear on that one. I think it comes back around this time, though. I think this game here against the Philadelphia Eagles, who were really good against the run last year, a little bit more pedestrian this year. But I think Gibson getting back to getting him the football is the way to go. So Antonio Gibson's a really good value this week for me. I've got him on my FanDuel lineups, my DK lineups. He's 5,900 over on DK. I think that's a really good price for him in terms of ROI, and that's what you're looking for. And 6,800 is a great price over on FanDuel, too. He brings you touchdown equity. He catches the football, too. I think he's good for probably – I mean, look, even in that terrible situation this past week, he still had 13 points, basically, in half-point PPR. So that's something you can live with at – about 7K, and I think he's got the upside for more like 20 in this game personally. So that's my guy this week. Who's your guy in terms of running back value, good return on investments for week 17, Scott?
You know, so I'm looking at the situation with CEH, and so it needs to be monitored. If CEH is a full go and they're like, he's the best, maybe I back off. But right now, Darrell Williams at 5,800 on DraftKings is looking very nice in this game with Cincinnati. You know, they have a nice high implied total. You know, this is one of the highest games on the board, 49 points. I love it. You're looking for those big games. And if you're going to get, you know, 15, 16 carries, maybe 4 or 5 targets out of the backfield in this matchup, maybe get into the end zone. I like that. It's a nice little PPR play. Now, FanDuel might not go that heavy with the half PPR, but, you know, I like his spot in the offense. If CEH is a no-go for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. What do you think of Derek Gore also? Just kind of curious about your thoughts on him as a flex guy, maybe potentially on DK.
You know,
AP yards.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for those pay down, like super cheap, you know, punt running backs who can do something, then yeah, that might be more GPP, you know, shooting.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, I do like him. He runs angry, you know, which is what you want.
He's 5,100 too, which is funny because on DK, you'd think he'd be maybe just a little cheaper, but he's not. He's actually pretty close to Devin Singletary, who's only $300 more expensive, which is certainly something to consider if you're trying to be different in some of those tournaments. Value wide receiver is my boy, Jaylen Waddle. Dude's just getting it done. I mean, okay, what more can we say? When you're looking for DFS plays and value plays, you're looking for volume. And Jalen Waddle has just been the epitome of volume this year for the most part. I mean, outside of a few hiccups where Tua was hurt and some other issues there, it's only been health that's really kept him from being great at certain times. And against Tennessee, look, I think that Miami can be competitive. I think they've shown you that they're starting to believe in themselves. They've had a terrific streak here. It's mostly based on how well the defense has played. But at the same time, I think Jalen Waddle can still get it done here. I still like the price this week on both sides. I think he's very investable. Who is your good value wide receiver this week in terms of ROI?
So I do like Jalen Waddle as well. I am going to go Antonio Brown. I think we kind of mentioned some of the reasons why, you know, on the side of the monetary, you know, but also just in reality, there's nobody else there for Tom Brady to really focus on. And Antonio Brown is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best, you know, top 10 wide receivers of all time. So you want to get that guy the football. Also, he won't shut up. I want to hear him in the press conferences. I want to see another press conference afterwards, like he did the previous one. They asked him about COVID. They asked him about things. He was so funny to listen to. So more Antonio Brown, please.
Antonio Brown, a lovable goofball that is Antonio Brown.
Anything they said.
Isn't it amazing though? The guy. I mean, he's like you know, trying to give an equivalent. Like, you know, if you asked, you know, Victor Martinez, who's like one of the great professional hitters, right, of all time. You know, just he hasn't played in 3 months. Hey, Victor, go up and take four at-bats. He would probably go 3 for 4. You know, like there's certain guys like that, you know, in baseball and certain guys in other sports. Antonio Brown's like that guy in football. He could not play for 8 weeks and he'd go out there and catch, you know, 15 balls and for 150 yards and a touchdown. Like it's just crazy the talent he has for the game. And I think that's why Tom Brady's so enamored of him, because it's just this raw intellect for football. Even though for life, it seems like potentially at times it's questionable, to put it kindly. But Antonio Brown just keeps on getting it done. And I love him. I got him in so many lineups. It's pretty much every lineup I make, Scott, full transparency, is starting with Antonio Brown this week. And that was before we got together. I mean, how do you not get involved when you look at the price? He's 6,100 over on DK. On the FanDuel side, he's 85. So much more expensive, but I think he's worth the premium. I really do. And that's, again, why I'm moving my budget to wide receiver this week. Jalen Hurts is where I want to live in terms of value a quarterback. Jalen Hurts, boys and girls, like it or not, is a top five quarterback in fantasy this year. I know there's been some struggles, but the last 2 weeks have been very encouraging. I think the Eagles are starting to, you know, feel themselves a little bit, which is important. Confidence is very important. Washington coming off a dreadful performance defensively. I do think they will rally around a little bit, but at the same time, I still like this matchup here for Jalen Hurts, and I just want that rushing floor. That's what I'm looking for in terms of that. Your value quarterback this week for you in week 17, Scott, is who?
Okay, so hear me out here on this. It's the price, $4,800 for Trey Lance. If he's going to, you know, full start, I think he will, Jimmy G with the banged up thumb. So if he's his rushing upside, I mean, you know, oh man, he's got it. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's built in. And, you know, I know that you got Debo there. You have Elijah Mitchell if he comes back. You've got, you know, Jeff Wilson. But I think Shanny will use him in dual capacity. You know, he had 16 rush attempts in his last start. You know, he completed 15 passes, didn't do great in that. So he's better at running than he is at passing. You can see that. And with Debo there, there's a lot of things you can do if you're Shanahan, and you have a whole week to prepare. So I do like him at 4,800. You got to get in cash, got to get 15 points out of him, 16 points. I think that's doable. You know, he's had 20 points. He's had 15 points. So it's in the range of outcomes for sure.
He's your guy to get Taylor. I just want to point that out there. Like, because what you're saying with the rushing floor, like he's 15 points in a bad game, probably Trey Lance, just from, you know, like if you take all the stats down to their bare minimum projections. So if he has a rushing touchdown on top of that, or has a two passing touchdowns instead of one, you're looking at a really good return. And that allows you to go up and get Taylor this week. Now, spoiler alert, Lance is going to be my GPP quarterback. I'll tell you why in a minute. My value tight end, believe it or not, I'm back to Kyle Pitts. I don't know how this has happened, but here we are. And very quietly, Kyle Pitts is kind of redeeming himself. And you know what kind of drives me crazy is the how everybody in August was out of their mind about Kyle Pitts. And now when we're looking up at the end of the season, he's pretty much returned a good season-long investment. I know it's not been pretty all the time, but tight end's been ugly, period. But Kyle Pitts is extraordinary. Again, the roster percentage, I think people's negativity from the regular season fantasy stuff sometimes filters in, whether they realize it or not subconsciously, into DFS. And I think that Kyle Pitts fits that narrative perfectly. I think he's going to get targets. I think he's going to have some touchdown equity in this contest here. You're going to be playing from behind. But I think the one thing that when you look at the Buffalo Bills defense is I think the secondary is very good. Always has been, despite the injury to Tre'Davious White. It's the linebacker position there that I think is where they're vulnerable. And you saw a couple weeks ago with Tom Brady pick that linebacker core apart in that game when they played Tampa. That's the thing you can do to Buffalo is you can really attack the middle of the field. And guess what? That's where Kyle Pitts lives. So that's where I'm going this week. How about you? Where are you going for value tight end?
Okay. So I have to say one thing real quick about Kyle Pitts. I bet my co-host on the Fantasy Millionaires this year that he would have 10 touchdowns. He has one touchdown. So yeah.
I think, well, you know what? The problem with that is what's happened with when Calvin Ridley came out, that was the end of Kyle Pitts having ceiling this year. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, it's like he got Julio Jones's touchdown curse, you know, like it just passed on. Matt Ryan in the red zone, though, not the guy you want. You want Matt Ryan from like getting you throwing the ball a 40-yard touchdown to Kyle Pitts, you know, or a 30-yard touchdown. Once he gets into 10 yards, you're like,
but you know what? He's going to have 1,000 yards receiving.
Oh, yeah. He's like, done well.
That's what I'm saying. It's like everybody's so negative. Look, he's got 64 receptions this year, 949 yards and a touchdown. You're right. The one touchdown he's got. But next year, if you give him six touchdowns, right, which is very reasonable, if you could fix some small problems here and there, all of a sudden, this is a guy who's going to catch probably 85 balls, six touchdowns and 1,200 yards. That's a second round pick, boys and girls. Like, just kind of bring you back to reality. It's been a good season for the rookie.
Well, I like the 11, 11, 19. That's nice. And, you know, 100 yards in his last game, and he's catching the targets, you know, six of six, five of six. So, it's just remarkable, though. I joke about it, but you would think Kyle Pitts would have more than one touchdown. You know, you're just like.
You would. That's why people hyperventilate so much, Scott, about touchdown regression. You know, but like when they see it, when a player, like when they saw it in Thielen, like, oh my God, this isn't sustainable. Some guys have a nose for the end zone. Some guys, certain teams, certain quarterbacks, when you get down to that area, and this is just football. This is the stuff that people in the analytical world, I think sometimes undervalue or don't, you know, understand enough of is if you play the game, you know, these things like, hey, there's certain things I feel comfortable in this area doing, there's certain people I believe in when the money's on the line. And that matters. It matters. It shows up. And then people want to, you know, then crap on it and say, well, all Chris Carter ever did was catch touchdowns. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. You know, like that's a pretty good thing to be doing.
Yeah. That's because he was good at that. They were like, hey, we need a touchdown. Those are worth 6 points. Let's get them.
Let's get a bunch of those. But that's the problem. And Kyle Pitts, I think, eventually will grow into that. But he's a rookie, you know, and he's so clearly the mismatch that he's getting all that attention. Not having a running game, not having Calvin Ridley, that has killed Kyle Pitts' touchdown equity because there's nobody else you have to worry about in that area. You stop Kyle Pitts, you're probably stopping everybody.
Yeah. What if he gets one this week, then? Then you're a genius. So
that's right.
I'd like to think
I'm a genius anyway, but go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that. My guy is Gerald Everett. And, you know, quietly, Gerald Everett has been putting up Dawson Knox numbers the last 5 weeks, right? He's got three touchdowns, you know, in the last 5 weeks, which you love. You know, he's got, 14 points, you know, 16 points. He's getting it done. And I love seeing the target share as well. You know, 4 for 4, 4 for 5, 4 for 6, 5 for 9. So I think Gerald Everett's somebody that in this game, he can make some touchdown grabs for you. Yeah, it's not going to guarantee it, but it's on pace to get one this week.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 of 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. And Prize Picks has tons of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdowns, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you got to do. It's easy. The more players you pick, well, the more you can win. Up to 10 times your money, Prize Picks is one of the best ways to play. Prize Picks also has mixed sports entries. So if you want to take LeBron on the under and Mahomes on the over, whatever you want to do, you can do it. Whether it's football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, MMA, you name it, they've got it. Prize Picks entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe and it offers fast withdrawals. And the Prize Picks app is rated 4.8 in the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is the only way to go for daily fantasy. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy, and daily fantasy gets simplified. That's what you've been waiting for. So find the app in the store today at Google Play or in the App Store, and use that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON and receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And there you have it. So go download Prize Picks today and start playing daily fantasy the right way. And now back to the action. All right, let's turn the page to the next here, and that is the GPP plays. So for me, it's Javonte Williams, and it's against the Chargers. And Melvin Gordon looks done to me the last couple of weeks. He just doesn't seem to have it. I think he's not 100% healthy at this point, but this is always Melvin Gordon this time of year. Anybody who's had Melvin Gordon years past knows December has not been kind to him physically over these times. And I just think it's clear at this point, Javonte is the superior guy. I think people will still be afraid of it, which is why, again, it's a GPP play, because there's still that shared backfield mentality. And I get that. And that's okay. I'm still going to go with Javonte Williams anyway. I still like the price. I think it's still investable. On the DK side of things, I think it's very investable. Same with FanDuel. He brings touchdown equity. We saw that last week. So Javonte Williams at 6,400 over on DK side and 6,100 over on FanDuel. Really good price for me on that. Who is your GPP running back of the week?
Okay, so I'm going somebody who is not going to be featured by many people. I think that's why he's my one of my GPP backs of the week. And it's Sony Michel. I think Sony Michel is kind of under the radar. He's somebody who I did not really anticipate seeing him blow up like he has. But the last 4 weeks, he's got 24 rushing attempts, 20 rushing attempts, 18, 27 rushing attempts. Right. He's also getting targets. Right. He's at 4, 1, 2, and 4. So he's getting touches. He's getting a lot of touches in a high powered offense. It's going up against a Ravens team that we just saw got decimated and destroyed. You know, they have players on the COVID list. Maybe they're coming off. They also have players who got injured. Right. So Averett's out. They have been a sieve all year for the past, but you saw Joe Mixon blow up last week against them. Sony Michel is the goal line back. There's no draw. Henderson, Cam Akers might get a little run in this. I don't know how that's going to work, but I think at 5,800, there's just a value there for him to plunge into the end zone, get a lot of work. If they're blowing them out, you know, you're not just going to pass the whole game. You're going to probably run the ball a lot. So I just see this as a nice opportunity to be off of or to be on somebody that a lot of people be off of.
Yeah, I like that call quite a bit. Also, sticking on that, I love the Baltimore Ravens secondary. Oh, do I love them, Scott. I talked so much about them last few weeks, and boy, oh boy, last week, didn't that just turn out well for me? Ooh, baby, I love that. The Burrow T. Higgins thing was very nice. Let's go back to that again with, yes, that's right, your old best friend, Odell Beckham Jr., my least favorite player in the NFL. There he is. Actually, maybe him and Cam Newton are kind of sharing it, but it doesn't matter. This is business, not personal, okay? And Odell has a good ROI potential in tournaments this week to catch a touchdown, to return investment. And as I said, that soft middle wide receiver I don't love. So Beckham is one of the few guys that I think price-wise you kind of feel like, all right, against the Baltimore secondary, if you want to take a shot at Van Jefferson instead or, you know, kind of interchange them, that's cool. The other guy, too, for me is fascinating, and I typically am not a chaser, as they say, right? But Isaiah McKenzie, I don't know how you go from getting 12 targets to getting none the next week. Like, I think he's still going to be involved because if you're the Buffalo Bills, Scott, you have to love what he brought to that team in terms of energy. I think that's the one thing, you know, last year Diggs and Allen had this incredible chemistry and it really brought a big energy. And I don't think you've seen that all year, really. McKenzie was on that field against one of the better secondaries in the NFL, if not the best. And there was such an energy with this guy, making plays, catching almost every single ball. He caught 11 of the 12 balls. I think, especially on DK as a flex play, he's very much in play for me. So he is just 3K last week, right? If you're looking at price, I mean, that's pretty dramatic there. This week, it's jumped up to 4,300. Still investable for McKenzie. I don't care if Gabriel Davis is back. If everybody's back, I still think McKenzie's investable. I really do. So that's the other guy I would throw out there. How about for you? Who's your wide receiver in terms of tournament play that you have your eye on this week?
I do have to say, I was on McKenzie last week, and I loved every bit of it.
Oh, so, I'm sure you did. I wish I was.
Well, Bo McBigtime, my guy over there at the chalk block with me every Saturday night, we do a two-hour DFS show leading you into the Sunday games. We'll do it again this week, and it'll be a New Year's Eve show. So,
I love that.
Yeah, we're excited. We love McKenzie. Just it's a slot receiver role in the Buffalo Bills offense. That's what it is. It's Josh Allen stepping back, quick drops, turning, firing a bullet past to somebody.
No, but that's the thing. Cole Beasley's lost a step the last couple of years. Let's be honest. Like, you know, that's just the truth. You know, certain guys, same thing happened to Julian Edelman, same thing happened to Wes Welker. You know, these guys have a shelf life in that role especially. So McKenzie has way more burst, that's for sure, and he showed you he can catch the football. So I don't know what more you need to see if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. I don't think you rush back two guys either who maybe they're not going to be, you know, testing positive anymore, but maybe, you know, what I've seen for people is it doesn't impact them. You know, the next games after you've had COVID, whether it's, you know, COVID-19 or COVID, you know, the Delta variant, whatever it is, it's not.
Well, the Omicron variant seems to be far less, from what we've learned so far scientifically, it seems like it's far more transmissible, and it's far less in terms of dangerous illness, obviously for pre-existing condition people, obviously that is still something very concerning, but for, you know, the healthy public, vaccinated and unvaccinated, it seems like this one's going through the communities much quicker, but not quite at the same level of illness, which is good. I think that's something you certainly don't want to go back to where we were in 2020 and, you know, living the way we have. But I think what it also does is it keeps these guys, you know, Isaiah McKenzie getting a lot of reps in practice, right? When people can't be there, they're going to design packages for him with him in mind to get him the football because he's an exciting player. And I think that's something to keep an eye on this week. I still think it's investable. Do you think he's going to return the same thing he did last week? I think that's going to be impossible.
No, I agree with you, but I still think he gets you, you know, 17 points, 18 points, something like that.
On DK. Yeah. I think DK gets you double digits for sure. Yeah. I think he gets you at least 12. Yeah. All right. Who's your wide receiver then?
You know, I know that, you know, maybe this is points chasing in kind of the same way, but Braxton Berrios has a role in the Jets offense. You know, Jameson Crowder out last week, and you saw Braxton Berrios. They like him, right? They feature him. I think his name is hilarious. Every time I hear his name, I just go, "Hi, I'm Braxton Berrios. That's a funny name," right? But he actually is getting it done.
He doesn't look offense. Like Braxton Berrios, too. No, like, that's my favorite part about him.
No, he does not. No, he looks like Hunter Renfro.
That is true.
Right. So, I mean, but similar in that, you know, kind of that, you know, maybe the Phil McConkey role, like just a little guy, you know.
Wow, you went old school there. I love that. Done,
you know, scrappy, but just, I mean, fast and quick. He's got those twitches. So, I'm into Braxton this week. And there just needs to be somebody that they're going to be losing. The Jets are getting crushed. You know, there's a garbage touchdown in that secondary, you know. So I expect it to be Braxton's.
Love it. Phil McConkey's mustache, all-time great mustache. Just want to put that out there.
He got that touchdown off of Mark Bavaro's chest in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he's so good.
Like, no, you lucky dog, you. But he deserved it. That's the kind of guy he was. He would get those passes. You know what I mean?
Mark Bavaro was that first tight end I remember going, wow, look at this guy catching balls, and it would take five guys to bring him down. Yeah, can you imagine, like, Mark Bavaro playing in this day and age, too? I mean, geez, like, you know, those guys took shots over the middle that they don't take anymore. I wonder what that guy would have been in modern day NFL. I always love that. I always love thinking about, like, guys who were so good in one era. Like, could you imagine Jerry Rice now with corners that can't really hold you up? Right? Like, how good he could have been. It's unbelievable. All right. Quarterback for me, as I said before, it's Trey Lance. He just allows you to do so much. And, you know, Scott already mentioned most of it, but I'm just going to reiterate real quick to 4,800 on DK. He is your, you know, key to unlocking a lot. He's your key to getting Cooper Kupp. He's your key to getting Jonathan Taylor and still having a very respectable lineup around that. And I do believe that, once again, you're looking at a very top-heavy quarterback group this week, and there's not a whole lot to like in the middle. It's very similar to how I feel about wide receiver, but I think Lance is that one guy, if he does play, and again, that's an if, that's the problem. Now, let's say if he doesn't play, give me another quarterback name here, Scott, that you feel good about in tournaments.
So, you know, before he went on the COVID list, Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown were developing a beautiful little chemistry. Now, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think he's kind of not matchup proof, but they want to get him the ball. They want to showcase him, which I love. So, to me, you know, coming back, Jared Goff, they're going to have to throw the football. They're going to have to be involved in a game that is going to be, you know, with Seattle. I don't think it's going to be just a putzing little game. I think Russell Wilson has nothing to lose. Just throw the ball, right? Just air it out. So I like Jared Goff. His price is right. He's 5,400 on DraftKings. It's cheap. it's not very expensive. You can build a lineup around that and then get Jonathan Taylor and then go get Antonio Brown and then get, you know, don't get too chalky. You got to get a little differentiated. You get Sony Michel, right? Braxton Berrios, a couple of those guys. And then, you know, get one of your guys, get Beckham, right? Or McKenzie. And there you go. You kind of differentiate yourself in price and how you're building.
Yeah, I love it. You know what? And Jared Goff, roster percentage wise, will be low.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you're trying to be, you know, I always say this, try to be good. You know, don't always try to be different, but sometimes different is good. And sometimes understanding that, you know, look, if it's responsible and you see a path there for points, and on top of that, a good salary, and on top of that, a good roster percentage, that's the thing you're looking for in tournaments. For tight end, I'm going to Dalton Schultz. I feel like, you know, there was that little dip in the Dalton Schultz productivity this season, and it has bounced back with a vengeance these last few weeks, right? I mean, I don't think any of us kind of predicted this coming here. We thought all the wide receivers would get healthy and he would fade. Dalton Schultz, touchdown, back-to-back weeks, 9 targets against Washington, caught 8 of them, caught 8 of 8 against the Giants. So this guy's getting involved, he's getting volume, and he's getting touchdowns. What more do you want from tight end? Oh, wait, $5,900. That's good. Over on FanDuel and on DK, he's just 5K. I think he's a great investment. This is why I don't want to pay up for tight end, because I like Dalton Schultz this week in this matchup. I'm hoping, finally, we get a shootout here between Arizona and Dallas. Some of these, I don't know what's going on with Arizona. I gotta shake Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know. But how about for you? Who's the tight end you got your eye on in GPP this week?
So I'm just going to say I like yours better than mine. I think Dalton
You could just share mine.
I'm going to go with Cole Kmet. You know, he's getting 8 targets a game, you know, his last 5 games. You want to see that. You want to see the volume. Now, they haven't always been perfect. They've been from 3 different quarterbacks, I think. But you see him emerging, and I like his price. I think that's the thing that about him is that, you know, if you're going for upside, you want to get the cheapest tight ends. Last week, I chased Cameron Brate, got a touchdown. Hayden Hurst got a touchdown, right? So those pay down $3,700 on DraftKings, you're not really spending a lot. You're using that as a value, but there's upside in that, and hopefully he can cash in and get a touchdown.
Let's talk about the DST plays here, and there's some obvious ones. Clearly Tampa against the Jets, clearly New England at home against Jacksonville, which I expect the New England defense to bounce back in a ferocious way. I also expect them and probably Tampa to both have scores on the defensive side, which is huge. So I would definitely circle them as pay-ups. San Fran has a great matchup. Miami's D has played out of their mind, I think, against Tannehill, who's been certainly some turnover prone from Tannehill this year. I think Miami is definitely in play still, so don't get off that train. And Dallas. Dallas is definitely in play against an Arizona offense. Let's face it, struggled without Hopkins. They've struggled with some injuries. I think it's definitely in play. Who are some of the DSTs? I've got Tampa, Miami, New England, San Fran, and Dallas. Scott, who do you have this week?
I like all those, by the way. And but it was interesting, none of mine were the same as yours, which is cool.
I know, which is really cool. I like giving people different perspectives. I know for me, it's the Tampa, New England. I believe they'll score on defense this week. And then on top of that, it's playing the run of Miami. San Fran has a great matchup. Dallas has a better matchup than people think. People will shy away from it. But let's be honest, the Arizona offense has been lackluster.
Yeah, well, and I went with low total games and then home favorites in mind. So, you know, the Carolina-New Orleans game, at the New Orleans game, it's a 38 total. And then same with the New York Giants at Chicago Bears. It's a 38-point total. And so both of them are low. And then, you know, Chicago's a 6-point favorite. And then New Orleans is a 7.5-point favorite. So I'm just looking at those home teams. You know, Cam Newton, oh, my gosh. I think he basically said he was done in the press conference. You know, something along the lines of, like, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was or something. I forget what
he
said.
I thought he was back. Isn't he back?
I'm back. That was my
worst.
Well, my favorite was somebody tweeted out, he's back. He's 0-4 since he's back. And I said, no, he is back. Like, he's back, guys. Like, that's exactly right. He's back. Nothing changed. So, no, I do, I'm going to say both those are Cam Newton's a turnover waiting to happen. And then whoever plays for the New York Giants is a turnover waiting to happen. And the Bears, they're kind of, they can get ferocious at times. They're not, you know, awesome anymore, but, you know, they have some pass rush ability, which you want to see. And so do the Saints. So both those kind of cause turnovers. So maybe a touchdown defensive, maybe, you know, we'll see. So,
all right,
good. And then Buffalo, because Atlanta's terrible. So
no more analysis needed than that. Stack of the week for me is Tampa. We talked about it. I mean, Brady against the Jets with AB, with Gronk. I mean, it's a great setup. If you want to play Ronald Jones, okay. But I would stick with the Gronk. I would stick with the AB in this game. I would not get cute. Go with the big names. How about for you? Who is your... I'll throw the Rams out there, too, as my other favorite stack of the week, even though we didn't really touch too much about the Rams. But that Baltimore defense, they got all kinds of problems, especially in the secondary. That's not a good situation there when you have Matt Stafford coming into town. How about for you here? Who is your stack of the week?
I'm going to agree with you on that. The problem is Cooper Kupp is so expensive, right? Mm-hmm. And that really is the issue. But your Odell Beckham, when he replays, I think that you stack him with Stafford, you differentiate yourself a little bit. That might be the galaxy brain way to do it. So I like that as a little sub stack to your Tampa Bay stack. Mine is Buffalo, right? I think they light Atlanta up. And I like to double stack, right? So last week you could have put Knox in there, but if you put Isaiah McKenzie in there and Diggs in there, you're doing well. I'm going to go back to it. Diggs, Isaiah McKenzie with Josh Allen. You could play one of them if you just want to go and go cheap and go McKenzie. You could do that. And then you kind of get all Josh Allen's rushing upside if that's how the game goes. But I do like Diggs this week. So,
well, my lock of the week this week is Cooper Kupp. That's right. Get your bankroll out because Baltimore secondary plus Cooper Kupp equals points. Points. All the points. So, look, I'm not like a genius for saying play Cooper Kupp, but in DFS, you know, you have to make those decisions. Do I want to pay at the top of the board for somebody? And I think the answer and for this one this week is yeah, hell yeah, I do. And it's Cooper Kupp. How about for you? Who's your lock of the week, Scott?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Diggs. I just see him exploiting his matchup in the secondary against the Falcons. And I think that Josh Allen, he too wants to be involved in the MVP conversation, right? And so all these quarterbacks have egos. I think he lights them up. Last week, he really did a great job against the Buffalo Bills or against the New England Patriots. I doubted him, and I made a big doubt. So I'm not going to make that same mistake.
All right, let's do the fantasy fly around. We're going to have to lightning round this bad boy because there's so many games. So let's just do it. Atlanta at Buffalo. The one guy we didn't really talk about is Devin Singletary. And I've got exposure to Devin Singletary. I can't believe this. What's happening to me? I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to ride the wave a little bit here, and I kind of like the matchup for him as well. I like the game script. So here's my question. 3 weeks in a row, we've got double-digit PPR points from Devin Singletary. What do you think about playing him and going for four in a row here?
I think it's a great play. He's 5,400 on DraftKings.
That's where I got him.
Yeah. And so if Josh Allen doesn't hit, so maybe you pair this up with your Tom Brady stack, with your Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp stack. He's cheap enough that you could do that, and then you're getting the points in that game. If they don't go through Josh Allen, they can go through Devin Singletary.
All right, Giants and Chicago Bears, I'm going to skip. You talked already about Komet. You talked about – sorry, I'm just skipping it. Games just don't have appeal. Komet's a good thing to talk about. Maybe the Bears' defense also against the Giants' offense. Okay, but the rest, I'm out. Kansas City at Cincinnati. We didn't talk about this game at all. Now, there's a lot of potential here, but at the same time, Kansas City's defense played really well. Do you want to make the oppo case here for Joe Burrow and company going against Kansas City? Because Kansas City has been really good defensively, and all of a sudden, the last few weeks, Cincinnati's been really good offensively. Do you go into this game at all here, Scott? How do you feel about Kansas City and Cincinnati, and what end are you playing?
You know, I think you could play Tyler Boyd at 5,400. You can play some of the tertiary pieces if you don't want to pay up for Jamar Chase at 76, or if you don't think T. Higgins can get it done at 69. But, I mean, we're talking about two receivers that have over 1,000 yards, so you know that they're going to get the target.
Oh, T's been amazing. Outside of one week here in the last month, he's at 100 yards every single week.
Yeah, it's if you think this game shoots, I think you can target the different pieces, you know, that are in this offense. Maybe don't go heavy with a double stack, or if you do, you know, I would maybe run it back and put Tyreek Hill in there. Or you could put in, you know, Byron Pringle. I mean, I think Kelce should be back. I think that's what it's looking like. So maybe, you don't go to Pringle. But I think there's just ways to put this game into your builds if you're going to go on the stack. And so I'm not saying don't make it a heavy stack, but you're going to pay a lot up if you go, you know, three or four pieces of the game.
Yeah, it is an expensive one to get involved. I feel like that's why people don't want to, because it feels like potential four outcomes, and that's always the dangerous thing, the four outcome game. Miami at Tennessee. Any love for Tua here in this game, too, as a quiet GPP quarterback?
You know, at 5,800, I do like his potential in this game. I think that, you know, with Waddle and then Devontae Parker, he has two options right now. And then Gesicki's always around there too. I know he didn't get featured too heavily last week, but he's around, you know, and then Duke Johnson. I mean, glad they found him, right? Because Miles Gaskin used to fall off a cliff. So, yeah, I do think that there is potential here, and there won't be a lot of people who are on Tua.
Indianapolis hosting Las Vegas here. And look, Indy's defense has played really well too. That's the other piece of this that, you know, we didn't mention that. And Vegas is slumping offensively, I think we can say, ever since Thanksgiving. I kind of feel like just kind of rolling out here at the end. So I would invest in Indianapolis defense. Is there anything else here in this game that interests you?
You know, it's just hard to get to a game script that Jonathan Taylor doesn't dominate on the, on right. one side. And so I guess you could run it back with Hunter Renfro at 6,500. His touchdown, you know, last week was great. You see him in the red zone being used in the end zone. You know, I like seeing that. So I think that might be the only play, because the Indianapolis defense has been pretty stout. So it kind of limits my Derek Carr exposure.
If Waller somehow makes it back, I like Renfro a lot, actually, because I think that's the thing when, you know, you need more options out there. The defenses have to keep them honest a little bit. New England to Jacksonville, certainly not the two favorite offenses in DFS. I already talked about the defense, but, you know, Damien Harris certainly looked good in that game, too. I think he's investable this week, too. It's kind of like a safe floor running back. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. I was thinking the same thing. And then I don't even know what to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean,
pass.
Yeah, they tried to Dare Abungawale to 5,100. Like, why, God, why? Why? That's terrible. Oh,
no, I don't understand it at all.
Nothing. So
New Orleans is hosting Carolina. Look, for the Saints, it's all about them just getting pieces back. If they get Taysom Hill back, would you go back into that well this week?
You know, I think if they get Taysom Hill back, I like Alvin Kamara better, just because it makes it so the defenses can't focus on him as much. So maybe it's a pivot, but this game is not a game I like either. You know, it just kind of, it has a gross feel to it, honestly.
All right. Tampa and the Jets, we talked about a lot. Philly and Washington, we touched on too with the pieces we liked already. So let's jump over to Denver at the Chargers. You know, this is a tricky one here because I really like the Chargers offense and I like the offensive pieces, but you know, Denver plays tough defensively, especially in that secondary. That being said, what would you, if anything, invest in this Charger game? Would it be an Austin Eckler there and trying to just say, let's go with the running game here and kind of fade away from the passing game of the Chargers just for a day?
You know, for me, it might just be Josh Palmer, 3,600. It's pretty cheap on DraftKings. I know, let's say Mike Williams returns, but I think Palmer's kind of put himself in that position where, you know, he does have upside. It's a sneaky little play, and particularly in GPP. Now, if it's cash, I don't know. I mean, Austin Eckler's hard to get up to at 8,200. And you said you're fading kind of the pay up backs this week. With him, Denver, they're not terrible on defense against the run. So, yeah, it might have to be a Keenan Allen week instead or a Palmer week. We'll see.
Yeah, like I said, those corners are good. So I don't mind the third wide receiver and Palmer, especially if Williams is playing. I think that if Williams plays, I actually like Palmer more, believe it or not. Houston and San Fran, we kind of touched on this, but I want to just ask you this question too. If Eli Mitchell is out again, would you invest in Jeff Wilson, especially with possibly Trey Lance under center, or do you not because of Trey Lance under center?
I think it limits his upside with Debo getting carries and Trey Lance. And then you're going to kind of split. But if Elijah Mitchell's in there, I like Elijah Mitchell better than Jeff Wilson.
All right. Dallas at Arizona. We like certain things in Dallas. Dak coming off a huge game here. Should we go back to the Dak well, or should we be looking at Kyler Murray, who has been pretty quiet? Does Kyler Murray show up for this one here? Break down the quarterbacks for me in this contest.
Okay, one of them's going against no J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, which is good, right? Mm-hmm. And the other one's going against Micah Parsons and now DeMarcus Lawrence, who's back, which is, so I know Kyler Murray is more mobile and he can kind of get around. You saw what he did with that nice run last week. But I'm going to go Dak Prescott just because of the price. You know, he's 600 less on DraftKings. I think he's got more upside and better weapons. If DeAndre Hopkins was present, if James Conner was 100% healthy, I think maybe I would, you know, give Kyler Murray more of a chance. But, you know, CeeDee Lamb only 7,100. I love that. You know, Amari Cooper 6,600 on DraftKings. So the pieces are there. And you already mentioned Dalton Schultz. He's a great price too. So yeah. I think the offensive explosion comes on the Dallas side more so than the Cardinals side.
I feel like Arizona's falling apart here at the end. And I don't know if it's going to cost them the playoffs even. Ooh. But I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility if things break, especially if you lose to Dallas this week, which, you know, all of a sudden that puts you in a weird spot because the Rams are going to win and some other teams, like, no, Tampa's going to win, right? Like, right. Certain teams are going to keep winning here. Arizona, yeah. It's falling apart here at the end. It's not good. Second year in a row that's happening. That's not good for Cliff Kingsbury's coaching position. Seattle at Detroit, you know, you touched on Detroit, ironically, but we haven't hit on Seattle. I think Wilson and Lockett is kind of a quiet little duo this week that I would feel very good about against Detroit. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that. Russell Wilson was my bounce back player of the week this week. And I think that snow game, it was a terrible snow game. We didn't see it coming. And so it was a running back game. You saw what David Montgomery did and Rashad Penny did. So I think that this is a different situation. I don't think there's going to be a snow. Now, if it does, if it's a blizzard, pivot. But I think that that downfield ball is a little bit, you know, we saw one play where he couldn't get it down to DK Metcalf a couple weeks ago. But we saw this last week. He got a 41-yard touchdown to DK. So I do like the Tyler Lockett. He is his best receiver this year.
Yeah, I would agree. Last one here, Rams, Baltimore, Ravens. We did already discuss quite a bit about how I feel about that Rams attack against that secondary. However, let's also talk about the other side of this game. If you get Lamar Jackson or Huntley playing, are either of them worth a GPP throw because of what they bring? Especially Huntley, because my goodness, when he's been on, he's been fantasy gold when he's played.
Yeah, I think they both are. Now, Lamar's injury makes me, you know, it's an ankle, you know, so all the things he likes to do, all the twisting, the turning, the pivoting, it might limit his upside, you know, whereas Huntley, if he's cleared and if he, I mean, I think Lamar Jackson's going to play if he's healthy, you know, but it's hard to, in this matchup, to go Jackson over Stafford because of the secondary that Jackson's going to be going up against is a lot better than the secondary that Stafford's going to be going against. So, but if you wanted to, you could go Rashad Bateman. He's not very expensive for the, you know, the Ravens if you're kind of looking to differentiate. But I mean, it looks like Mark Andrews is kind of the guy that's leading them now. So it's like Andrews or nothing, I think, if you're going to go Ravens.
His name is Scott Simpson. You should be following him on the Twitter machine at NimbleWNumbers. Check out his work at the media network of my good friend Pat Mayo. The Mayo Network is fantastic. I love Pat, known him many, many years, and I'm very happy that you're working with him. Scott, tell everybody else besides the big Friday show, what else you guys got cooking here for the end of the season?
Thank you so much. I have an article coming out Friday for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network Top 10 Stacks of the Week. Oh, man, I think Brady will be involved. I think, you know, Stafford will be involved. Some of the guys we talked about. This guy, like, prep for my writing I have to do, getting to hear from you. You're definitely influencing me this week. I loved hearing your takes. You know, I also do a show with the Fantasy Millionaires every Monday at 9:30, kind of during halftime. We're doing one more show this year, and then we're going to kind of wrap it up because the season is ending, of course. But I'll be around NimbleW Numbers on Twitter, NimbleWNumbers.com for DFS content. And Joe, I just got to say, thank you for letting me be the holiday guy here for Fantasy Pros. You guys are awesome, and I love this. This is a great chance just to talk football and to get to be, you know, involved in the conversation. So thank you, sir, very much.
It is always a great time. It flies by so fast every time you're on. And again, I encourage everybody not just to follow Scott, but also check out his work because you could feel his passion for the game. He loves DFS. He loves the wagering side. He loves the fantasy side. He loves it all. And he's just a good dude. So support good people in the community for goodness sake. And Scott, I wish you and your family a happy, healthy new year as well. Thank you so much for giving your time to us here and your knowledge this whole season long on the program. I appreciate it a great deal. I also appreciate the sponsors of our show, including Prize Picks. Head over right now and download the app and turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks. And don't forget, use that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And speaking of all that money, when you make that money, you want to go visit charlesschwab.com/plan to get the financial plan for yourself for your future. Again, that's schwab.com/plan to get involved with that. Also, don't forget about our contest too. You got a little time left to get that Alvin Kamara jersey. It's not going to give away itself, so be the person who gets it instead. Head over to fantasypros.com/contest and make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Screenshot that, and the next thing you know, it can be yours. And lastly, the Betting Pros Podcast, bettingpros.com/podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe to Betting Pros. Me, Dan Harris, an amazing cast of characters, and we bring on some of the best people in the industry to talk about wagering, and obviously with the playoffs just around the corner and the more college football going on, it's here more than ever, especially as most of your fantasy teams are going away this time of year. So that'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Scott Simpson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.